My friends, in Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. It is so wonderful to be here with you today, to stand here and share the Word of God with you. Our text today is from 1 Peter for this third Sunday of Easter, and a marvelous theme comes from this for your anniversary celebration. Again, St. Peter writes, "Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. And this Word is the good news that was preached to you." Pastor Hartwig, thank you for thinking of me for this occasion, and thank you all for having me here together with you today. It is the honor of a lifetime, really, for me to be able to stand here in this pulpit where my father used to stand Sunday after Sunday and proclaim the Word of God to his congregation and also to his family as we sat out there in the pews. We sat right there, Arlen, about where you're sitting. Whoever gave up, we never gave up that pew. What are you doing in that pew this morning? Just thought you should know that. But to stand here in the footprints of my father is a feeling that is really beyond expression for me. The first and only other time is, as Pastor Hartwig already mentioned this morning, the first and only other time I preached from this pulpit was back in 1982 when I was in the seminary. I was nervous at the time because I felt like, well, my dad, this seasoned pastor, is kind of looking over my shoulder and critiquing me. Of course, he wasn't, but I felt like he was. And I'm still a bit nervous because, in a sense, I kind of feel the weight of history. I kind of feel like my dad is still looking over my shoulder and I want to make him proud, you know. 1982, I preached that sermon. Glorine Berry yesterday actually remembered the title of that sermon. 35 years ago. Isn't that something? But I do want to make my dad proud. But he would say, you know, don't worry about making me proud, son. You just preach the Word. Preach the Word. The same Word that I preached and was privileged to preach to this congregation. Because you see, friends, pastors come and go. Members come and go. The years and the decades come and go. But the Word of our God, and only His Word, remains forever. You know, when you're gone from someplace for a long time, you kind of expect that when you come back to it, everything is going to be just the same as when you left it and you last remember it. And so all of the same people should be in the pews. There should be the same yellow padding on the pews. And there should be that same city map hanging in the office wall with all the little pins stuck in there where all the members lived. There should be that same old mimeograph machine and that spirit duplicator downstairs in the print room. Dean Johnson and Artis Gerlach ought to still be singing in the choir. Dick Mraz should still be taking the youth on canoe trips to the upper Iowa River, and Ira Anderson should still be on the bridges waving at us as we passed underneath and cooking for us. And the Godspell face that my friend Alan Shore and I painted on the front wall of the youth room, the original sanctuary, should still be there. My apologies to the congregation for that. It was a bad idea. We thought Godspell was cool at the time. And after all, Mr. Teggetts got to paint a mural on the basement wall downstairs. So why shouldn't we get to paint a little something on our walls, right? It was a bad idea, like a lot of other bad ideas in the 1970s, like, you know, plaid leisure suits. I remember wearing a leisure suit to church here. ultra-wide bell bottoms, shag carpet, Ford Pintos, those were all bad ideas. And the Godspell face was one of those 1970s lapses of judgment. Thankfully, it is gone now, too. Just one of those many things that has changed in this place. But what's changed perhaps more than anything is the congregation itself. I've met so many of you now already who've been here since I was long gone. So many of God's people have been born and baptized. So many more have grown up and grown old. Some have married and had families, have moved on, and some have moved in. Sadly, some have fallen away, have confirmed their faith only to distance themselves from the church, and so many others have fallen asleep in Jesus. Everything changes, except for one thing. Oh, thank God, this doesn't change. The word of the Lord remains forever. It's the word that my father preached, and it's the word that your subsequent pastors have preached, that Pastor Hartwig preaches. It's the word that was planted in my heart when I was just this little whippersnapper pastor's kid running around here making trouble. And it's the word that is this congregation's greatest gift to me. Thank you. Thank you to this congregation. You are my spiritual home, and your gift to me is the word of God. The most priceless gift I could ever have, because that gift is worth more than life itself. That gift is life. That gift is my salvation. It's my hope. It's my joy. It's my shield and my defense and my rock. Thank you. It is a word that traces back before a time before there was time. A time before the foundations of the world, when the Word was with God and all things were created through Him who became flesh, that He might give up His life for us on the cross and shed His innocent blood. The Word of the Lord remains forever. It remains forever. And here's why. Because first of all, as Peter says, this Word of God is a living Word. And what that means is that Scripture has a lively, dynamic quality that is inherent in itself. The letter to the Hebrews says God's Word is living and active. Scripture isn't like other books that may produce an emotional effect or give you a greater awareness about this or that or maybe teach you a little something. But the Word of God, as for what it produces, St. Paul says in Romans, it produces saving Christian faith. Faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the Word about Christ. That living Word of God gives life to faith. It gave life to me. It gives life to you who believe it. That's why Peter says in this text that by this imperishable seed of the living word, people are being born anew. People are being regenerated. They're giving a new start in Christ. This life-giving word, it's been sown here now for 60 years, and this miracle of new life and new birth has taken place so many times in these hallowed walls. Sinners have been made pure as they were bathed in the Easter showers of their baptism. Those who were dead in their sins were made alive together with the risen Christ to be holy as He is holy. And those who were slaves to the futility of their sins have been ransomed and set free to live a new kind of life in obedience to the word of the Lord. It is this living word, this word that has been at the center of this congregation's ministry now for 60 years. It's a living word. I say 60 years like that's a big thing. That's almost how old I am. 60 years. And all who in this place have believed in their hearts what this word claims, that God raised His Son from the dead, and all who confess with their lips what this word declares, that Jesus Christ is Lord. All such people are alive in Christ, whether they are still with us here on this earth or not. Because just as we just learned again this Easter, life in Christ transcends the grave and death. Even though we die, yet we live because He lives and because His word is living and active. What a great blessing and a living heritage you have here at Our Redeemer. Have you given God thanks for that recently? And the other reason that God's word remains forever is because, as Peter says, well, it abides. And that sounds like saying, well, God's word abides because it abides. But I guess the point is that just like the word has life in itself, it also has staying power. It has abiding power in itself. Unlike our flesh, as Peter says, that has no abiding power. The flesh is like the grass, and all of its glory, all the glory of our flesh, of which mine doesn't have very much, is like the flower of the grass. It quickly withers away. I looked at my confirmation verse not too long before coming here. I was standing right over there when my class picture was taken, and I look at myself all those years ago, and I compare what I was then to what I see in the mirror today, and I realize just how much this flesh has withered, this grass. And then Peter says the day is coming when that flesh will fall completely and this life will be over. But even then, the word of the Lord will abide forever. It's a message that abides because it takes in all people of all places and all times. You know, back in the Old Testament, when the Lord promised that the seed of Eve would crush the head of the serpent, when he gave Abraham that ram caught in a thicket to be a substitute for his son Isaac, when he told Moses to lift up that bronze serpent for the healing of the people, when he provided bread from heaven for his people, they called it manna, to sustain them in the wilderness, when he saved Jonah after 3 days in the belly of the great fish, the point of all of that and so much more was to show us Christ as God's coming ransom from our sins, to reveal Christ to us in signs and in types and in prophecies. These are the very things that Jesus would have talked about with those Emmaus disciples when he began with Moses and the prophets and he interpreted to them all the things in the scriptures concerning himself. And then that same Christ-centered message was picked up by the evangelists and the apostles of the New Testament as they spoke from God, carried along by the Holy Spirit, and they bore witness to all the things that their eyes had seen and that their ears had heard. And now, looking back at the cross, they show us that Christ is indeed that seed of Eve who crushed the head of Satan on the day of the resurrection. That Christ is that ram who takes our place in death. That Christ is the one who was lifted up above the world for the healing of the nations and all who look to him in faith. That Christ is the one who was raised from the belly of the earth after 3 days. That Christ is the bread from heaven that sustains us in this wilderness life of ours. And now, 60 years after its founding, our Redeemer Lutheran Church is still the repository of this priceless treasure. Here is one of those few precious places on earth where the living, abiding Word of God is available to you in all of its truth and purity. This word of God is the power unto salvation for all who believe it. It is the reason that my father and the congregation's founders worked together to establish this congregation. That word is the foundation upon which Paul built, Christ has built and preserved this congregation for 60 years. It has been your pastor's privilege and this pastor's privilege to proclaim that living, abiding word to you. For your joy and for your salvation and edification, for your strengthening. All thanks and praise to God for his living word that we celebrate today. You know, come to think of it, as I've been looking around, there are a few things around here that haven't changed all that much, pretty much as I remember them. The mural as I already mentioned, the mural in the basement that Mr. Teggetts painted, the pipe organ that I was a high school senior, I think, when that pipe organ was constructed, and I watched with fascination as it was built. And another thing that kind of surprises me that's still the same, and that is the name of the youth organization, the Orcs. I was at the meeting when we were trying to decide on a name for the junior youth organization. It was one of those strange kind of nights. We had a mix of people, and someone, we were talking about a name, and someone said, well, how about the Our Redeemer Kids? And someone said, Our Redeemer Kids, O-R-K, Orcs, Orcs. And I don't know what was in the punch that night, but we all decided, oh yeah, that's kind of neat, the Orcs. And that was that. And now here 45 years later, the name remains unchanged. But you know, the day is coming when even those things that seem to have staying power, even those things are going to change. And even those things are going to disappear. And 60 years from now, when our Redeemer is celebrating its 120th anniversary, who knows by then? Are we going to be uploading the church bulletin to a computer chip in your brain? Or maybe people will come to church in little hover cars like the Jetsons had? Will the Orcs still be the Orcs? I don't know. I don't think I'll be here to preach for the 120th anniversary. But this I know, things will have changed a lot around here. I hear there's big changes on the horizon. Things will have changed a lot. But this will not have changed. The word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So what else can we say on a celebration like this? For a gift like this. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Oh, and this too. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. And peace be with you all. Amen.